Welcome to the Hour of Power. Today is your day for a miracle. Hi, New Life Church. Glad to be with you this morning. Now that I'm doing this televangelism thing, I figured I got to start practicing at some point. I need a little bit more jewelry, but we'll do that next week. Glad you're with us. We're going to start a new sermon series today. It's called On the Road. We're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 1, and we're calling it On the Road because life really is a journey. From the beginning to the end, we're on a journey. Our faith began as a journey. Abraham, the father of our faith, is described in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It says, by faith, Abraham set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, Abraham journeyed throughout his whole life, but he never did find that city built by God that his heart longed for, that his soul yearned for, until he found it in heaven. And so I read that passage and I think that life really is, for all of us, a journey. And we come to oasis after oasis on our journey and we think, this is it. This is going to fulfill me. This is going to make me happy. This is going to be my place. And we discover it's satisfying for a while, but it just doesn't bring the fulfillment that we want. And so we go through life and we're living in these tents, but the city we desire, whose architect and builder is God, is still just out of reach. But that is our destination. And so we're going to look at the book of Psalms and we're going to figure out what it takes, what we need in our tool belts to reach that city built by God. And so today we're going to read Psalm 1. And I hope you'll join me as we look at it. Begins verse 1, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bear its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. When we walk on the road of life with the Lord, we're not just wandering. We're being led to a place, to a specific destination, to that city whose foundation is the Lord, has been built by him. And so to get there, we need a map. Psalm 1 really is a roadmap of the way of life. This last summer, my wife and I had the opportunity to go down to the Gulf Coast to visit some friends. And so we didn't take a map. Nobody has maps anymore. I don't think kids know how to read maps anymore, but we got GPS, right? So we plugged in the address to our GPS, and then we headed south. And it was a fun trip, nice trip, kind of long. We finally get to the destination. Our GPS says, you have arrived, and there wasn't a house. And so we looked around. We thought maybe our friends were playing a joke on us, and we couldn't find it, so we called them. Just to make sure we had the address correct. And sure enough, we had the street number. We had the proper street. We had the wrong city. It was about an hour and a half away. So you got to have a map. If you want to know where you're going and get to where you're going, you've got to have a map. Psalm 1 is that map. It's the genre is called a wisdom literature. And you know, I've told you this before in Hebrew understanding. Wisdom has a lot less to do with knowledge or intelligence. Wisdom really is a skill. And so a craftsman that was good with tools or a musician that was good with her instrument would be described as a wise musician or a wise craftsman. It means skillful. And so what wisdom literature tried to do is, and Psalm 1 is doing for us, is showing us how to skillfully navigate the road of life, how to avoid the traps and pitfalls and snares that are on the road that are awaiting us. And so Psalm 1, this wisdom psalm, is describing for us a map to skillfully negotiate life and get us to where we're going. And so let's start again at verses 1 and 2. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Jesus said something very similar to that, Matthew chapter 7, 14. He says, how narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. I can imagine when Jesus said that to his disciples, he was thinking about Psalm 1. But the difference is the psalmist isn't really describing the geography or the terrain of the road that we're on. He's talking about the character of the people who walk down these two paths, the narrow path and the wide path. First, there's the happy man or the blessed man, other versions say. And this person is studious in avoiding people and characteristics associated with those on the wide path. And so you probably noticed as we read that, the happy man is listed individually and the others are listed as groups. It's exactly what Jesus said. The road is difficult, the gate is narrow, the road is difficult, and few find it. So there's a lot of folks out there on the wide path, the easy path, and the psalmist is encouraging us to avoid them. And he describes them in three groups. He said there's first those who walk in the advice of the wicked. There are those that stand in the pathway of sinners. And then those who sit in the company of mockers. And so walking in the advice of the wicked describes a lifestyle of letting the wicked world, the sinful world, dictate our lives for us and our thinking for us, and we begin to listen to and accept the way that the world does things. The second group, those who stand in the pathway of sinners, describes taking part in the things that we know are wrong, taking part in the things that we know displease the Lord. And then the third one is those who sit in the company of mockers. That describes a cynical life, one that scoffs and ridicules the things of God. So if you look closely at those three groups, you'll notice that there's a progression. So he's talking about the wicked. They're first walking on the road, then they stop and they're standing, and then ultimately they're sitting. And so the foolish person begins to listen to the prevailing worldview, the prevailing wisdom, so to speak, of the world. And he says to himself, what harm can it do? I'm just listening. And so he scoots around on the internet or wherever, listening to the world, listening to their advice. And before long, before you know it, he's no longer just listening to the world. He's beginning to emulate the world. He's beginning to act like the world. Just a little at first, but after a while, as this thing progresses, eventually, it becomes habitual. The actions become habitual. No longer is he just listening to the world and acting like the world. He soon finds himself joining the world in closing himself off to the things of God. And he becomes cynical, a mocker, and a scoffer. And so the psalmist says we need to avoid these by listening to God and following the roadmap that he's giving us. Instead, his delight is on the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. And so when we do that, when we follow God's roadmap for our life, instead of standing with walking with the wicked and standing with the sinners and sitting with the mockers, he says two things will happen. Number one, we can avoid that slippery slope. But number two, he says the path we are following, the one that leads us to God, leads us also to our prosperity. So here I am, this televangelist, we're already on a prosperity message. Look at verse 3. It says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So the trees are important images in the Bible. In fact, the Bible begins and ends with a tree. In the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, there's the tree of life. The book of Revelation, in the New Jerusalem in heaven, there's the tree of life. And here he describes the believer as a picture, word picture of a healthy tree, one that produces fruit, one that doesn't shrivel up and die during a drought, one that has a solid, deep root system. It doesn't get blown away in the storms of life. And after describing that tree, he turns then to the wise man, and he says something amazing about this man. He says, whatever he does prospers. Now, you and I probably have a different picture than the psalmist of what prosperity means, but here's what he meant. The root word in Hebrew for that word prosper means to push forward. To push forward. Now, I want you to think about that picture for a moment, because I love that image. It's an image of God behind us, pushing us forward in life to success. Psalm 139, I read the other day, describes how God goes before us and behind us. Here's a picture of him behind us, pushing us forward to success. I love the idea that God has got my back. And so if we want to attain prosperity, the psalmist says there's three things that we need to do. The first thing we need to do is to feed on God's word. That's what he says when he said, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. We've got to feed on God's word and walk in the wisdom that we gain from that word. We're not walking in the counsel of the wicked, but we're walking in God's counsel. We're walking in the counsel of the godly. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there's a picture of a wise person, the happy man, who is searching for God with all his heart. He is seeking, and he will find. And so we begin this progress down the road of life by feeding on the word, but we also need to drink from the Spirit. Notice where this tree is planted. The tree is planted beside flowing streams. We must stay tapped into the streams of living water. Jesus described the Holy Spirit in John 7:38 as living water. Describes a lifestyle of being filled with the Holy Spirit instead of, as the psalmist says, standing with the sinners. We're being filled with the Spirit. And so the tree by the stream doesn't draw its strength from one sip of water every week. It draws constantly from that stream. It drives its roots down into the ground to draw from that stream so we can draw on the life that the Spirit of God gives us. We drink from the Spirit. And then the third thing I think the psalmist would tell us we need to do if we want to be prosperous in life is to stay put. To stay put. I'm not talking about sheltering in place. I'm talking about the fact that it says the tree is planted. A tree doesn't grow by a river for a while and then pick up roots and move. It's there for the long haul. It's put its roots down. It's staying in place. So instead of sitting with the mockers, the tree is planted by the river of life. That's why it's so strong, and that's why it's so fruitful. And God says, as long as we walk with the Lord, that we will grow and we will produce fruit. Now, I want you to notice, sometimes it takes time to produce fruit. The psalmist reminds us, it bears its fruit in its in its season. Trees don't produce fruit on command. They produce fruit in season. And God is the one that sets the seasons in our lives. But he promises we will be productive. Now, you may be in a season right now where you don't feel very productive and prospering and bearing much fruit seems like something far off in the future. But I'm encouraging you, don't give up. Stay planted in the Lord. Keep following him. Don't quit. It's coming. I promise it's coming. It's coming in its season. And God says he will bring that fruit. And so I encourage you just to step back and look at your life. And you'll probably discover you've been a lot more prosperous than you thought. I spent last week, and you and I spent last week talking about things we're thankful for. And it just reminded me how much God has blessed me over the years. So set your goal as growing with the Lord. Feed on his word, drink of his spirit, and just keep at it. And God says, whatever you do will prosper. But that's not the case for the wicked. Verses 4 and 5. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So, whereas a healthy tree has leaves that don't wither and fall off in the heat of the summer, the wicked, he says, are like chaff that are blown away in the wind. They're like the cuttings from the grass in your yard that you blow away after you finish mowing. These folks are the wicked, they're the exact opposite of the healthy tree described in verse 3. They dry up, they don't have a root system, they get blown over in the storms of life. And he tells us what's worse is that they'll face ultimate judgment after life. So in the end, you and I need to make sure that we are on the right road, the one that is following God, the one that is leading to that city our heart yearns for and our soul longs to see, whose builder and architect is the Lord. Verse 6 summarizes and concludes it for us. He says, for the Lord watches over the way of the wicked, but the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. So when we're on the right road, the Lord promises to watch over our journey. He leads us to prosperity and leads us to fruitfulness. But if we head down our own road, if we're out on our own, we don't have that protection and we don't have that promise. If you're on your own, you're just on your own. Now, it's probably not a better song, I think, to describe our modern American mindset than one of my favorites, Frank Sinatra's My Way. You know the song, I Did It My Way. I think Elvis sang it as well. But it speaks of American cultural ideals, of being a self-made person, being self-sufficient, being a rugged individualist. Psalm 1 has the exact opposite message. Psalm 1 tells us in no uncertain terms, my way stinks. My way leads to destruction. The psalmist offers us a better way. It's a way of life. But it requires that we relinquish our death grip on what we think is our own freedom and our own will. And doing things our way. We've got to let go of that and let God bring us the life he wants for us. So my question for you this morning as we close is this. It's very simple. Are you going your way or are you going God's way? Are you on your own path or are you on God's path? And I want you to think about it. I don't want you to answer it flippantly because it's an important question to ponder. And I want to look at Psalm 1 in another way as well, related to our context. We're living in some crazy times. I'm on a screen in your living room because we can't be together this morning. And I mean, it's Orwellian what's going on around us. And I want to read Psalm 1 from that perspective. Let me ask you this question. Who are you taking advice from? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to voices of fear and worry and anxiety and hopelessness? And who are you looking to fix this problem we find ourselves in? Because if we're listening to the wicked and putting our hopes in the wicked solving this, I'm afraid they don't have the solution. And the next question is this. Who are you standing with? Who are you acting like? Who are you modeling your behavior after? Is there a difference in your response to this pandemic than your neighbor's? Are your roots deep enough that you're going to weather this storm better than those around you? Are you ministering to those around you? Are you giving hope? Are you giving encouragement? Are you spreading joy during this difficult time? The last question is have we really turned to God as a church? Have we really turned to God in repentance and prayer? Or have we just, with the mockers and the scoffers, thrown up our hands and decided it's too much? It's out of God's hands. He's not going to do anything about it. Well, I don't believe that's the case for you. Let me tell you what I think about you. I believe you are like a tree that's planted by a stream. I believe you're feeding on God's word. I believe you are drinking of God's spirit. And I'm encouraging you to stay right there, to keep enduring, to keep pushing forward, and you'll be just fine. Psalm 1 reminds us God's got our back. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, our desire is to live a successful and prosperous life. And we're so grateful for that promise that you tell us that whatever we do will prosper as long as we're on your path. Lord, we're on a journey and we've come to a strange turn in the road right now. Maybe it's the valley of the shadow of death, but Lord, we're going to keep going forward. We're going to feed on your word. We're going to drink of your spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would help us avoid the wicked, the sinners, the scoffers, that we wouldn't take advice from anybody else but you. We wouldn't act like anybody else but your people, what we see in the Lord Jesus himself. And so, Father, help us during this time, we pray. And as we think about this week, the path that we're on, show us, Lord, any missteps that we have. Show us any wrong turns that we make and bring us back onto the road. Our desire, Lord, is to reach the destination. That city you've built, its foundation and architect is you. Lead us to that place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Stay tuned for some outtakes and some bloopers that we've collected from the last 4 weeks. God bless you. Have a great week.